Hello, everyone. This is Josh Oakes, and you're listening to the SmartSocial.com podcast. And I'm here live in Los Angeles, California, and I'm so honored that you would make us a part of your family here today, of your day, as we show you ways to keep your kids safe and smart online. You know that you can go to SmartSocial.com to get free app guides to learn about the latest and greatest ways to keep your kids smart on the internet. But today, we're going to talk about so much more. Students are getting devices younger and younger, and the holidays are here. December is only a couple days away. If you're listening to this delayed, Christmas is coming, Hanukkah is coming, and you're probably thinking about what devices are you going to give your kids. Today is a very important topic. Today is all about screen time. And I have with me as a guest today, I'm so thankful to have Brooke Shannon here today. She's with an organization. She's with a website that she started called waituntil8th.org. That's wait, W-A-I-T, until, and then the number 8th.org. You can go and Google that. It is a very, very important website and is very important for you to write down. I'm going to repeat it two or three more times during this podcast because I mentioned that website in a lot of my speeches. Brooke, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
So, Brooke, you started waituntil8th.org, which is, I'm going to read the website, Let Kids Be Kids a Little Longer, Wait Until 8th. Our website and our program empowers parents to say yes to waiting for the smartphone. The Wait Until 8th pledge empowers parents to rally together to delay giving children a smartphone until at least 8th grade. By banding together, this will decrease the pressure felt by kids and parents alike over the kids having a smartphone. Wow, what you do is awesome. So talk to me, how did you get started in this? And then what tips do you have for parents?
Well, the Wait Until 8th pledge started about 18 months ago, and it just started with some parents coming together because we as a group wanted to hold off on giving our kids smartphones. Believe it or not, the average age a child receives a smartphone now is around 10 years old, which is far too young. In our community's opinion. So we started doing a lot of research and seeing what people are doing on this very important issue. And what we learned, surprisingly, was that many technology executives are not giving their children smartphones at 10 years old. They're holding off until 14, 15, 16 years old because they're well aware of the distractions and dangers that come with this technology. And so a group of parents in Austin came together and we decided as a group that there is safety in numbers, there's strength in numbers. Yeah. And if we held off as a group on this important decision, it would be easier for our kids to wait and as families to wait as well. And so the whole concept is linking arms together and holding off on giving children smartphones until 8th grade. Now, many parents ask, okay, well, I love the idea of this, but I need to be able to get in touch with my child before 8th grade. You know, what about like a basic phone? Is that okay? And there are, believe it or not, so many different options out there that are just basic phones. And we are in full support of parents considering the basic phone as an option. So the pledge is just for smartphones and we're holding off until 8th grade.
I love it. That's great. And we call those flip phones, right? Is that what you're referring
exactly. to? Exactly. Basic flip phones. They still make them. They are alive and well. You just have to do a little research out there. And we have a great Pinterest board on our Wait Until 8th page with all types of basic phone options out there.
That's awesome. And a good old flip phone feels so great too in the hands. I love like hanging up on it and you close it, the old clamshell. I used to miss that. Oh, that's great. Yes. Okay. So this is fascinating because we're seeing students getting their phones younger and younger. We're seeing students have worse sleep and they're not as focused. Their grades aren't quite as great. Pressure is up. In our parent university program, we see a lot of depression, anxiety, and we're talking with a lot of educators about that. But I want to ask you a couple questions that lead up to that. What are some of the most frequently asked questions that you get from parents, or what are some of the things that you're telling parents? Let's talk about the first one. What are you telling parents more often than not?
Well, more often than not, I'm telling parents to please consider the basic phone, the basic flip phone option, if you need to get in touch with your child before 8th grade. So many parents do have various reasons for getting in touch with their children before that age and are quickly handing down their old iPhone or smartphone to their kids without really considering all the implications of that. And so instead of handing over the fully loaded smartphone, I really encourage parents to consider some basic options before going down that path. Another question I get often is, well, what if my kids miss out? You know, there's so many ways that kids are communicating with one another on social media, and I don't let my child do that, or if I don't give them the smartphone, they're going to really miss out. And on that front, I want to tell parents that it's okay if your kids miss out. In fact, they're going to be better off for it if they miss out on some things, on all the drama that's going on Snapchat, on Instagram, on these group texts that can quickly go south. And it's okay for your kids to miss out on that. Ironically, when you give your child a smartphone and you give your child access to social media, you are, in a sense, arming them with a piece of technology that's going to constantly show them how they're missing out. They're going to flip through Instagram. They're going to see all the parties and gatherings that they were not included on. They're going to be constantly shown how they're not measuring enough, up enough, and how they are being left out. So it's an interesting situation because most parents, you know, cave on this because they are worried about their kids being, you know, left out, and you know, this is like FOMO fear. But in a sense, like we're sharing with kids so many ways that they're being left out by giving them this technology too early when they're not ready for it.
Yeah, that's terrific. Okay, so you've talked to us. Please consider a flip phone or consider not giving your kids the fully loaded, powerful device. And second, it's okay for kids to miss out. FOMO is kind of a cool thing. And I think that's terrific. Those are two good tips. What's one of the biggest misconceptions that parents often have?
I mean, I think one of the biggest misconceptions right now that parents have is that our children aren't children, that they're grownups and they're okay to have these gadgets. And so, you know, I constantly hear, you know, we got to, you know, prepare our children for the real world that they're going to live in with all this digital technology. We got to prepare them from college. We got to prepare them for the workforce. And yes, in a sense we do, but we as parents, we need to remember that they are kids still. Their brains are still developing. They don't have impulse control. They don't have the ability to have delayed gratification. They are still works in progress. So we as parents need to remember that these are kids and they're still, you know, being developed, and we need to put healthy boundaries in place to make sure that they can thrive as kids during their childhood.
That's a great point. And what are some of the biggest issues, the downsides to screen time that you're seeing? Have you seen some data lately that just makes this so much more powerful, younger kids being off smartphones versus on them?
Yes, I mean, the more I dig into this topic, the more I feel that we should hold off on it, because there are so many studies out there that show that this is not good for our kiddos. Study after study shows that the more time they spend on social media, the more likely that they're going to be at risk for anxiety, for depression, and even suicide. I mean, girls between the ages of 10 and 14 are at the highest suicide right now. It's suicide rate right now. It's tripled over the past couple of decades. And we really need to consider how this is impacting our children's mental health, how it's impacting their relationships, how it's impacting their sleep, as you mentioned before, how it's impacting their academics. And it's tough because screens are everywhere, and they're out when you go to the restaurants or out at playgrounds or on social gatherings. And if you go into many schools, they're everywhere in school too. And it's hard to find a balance and make sure that your kid is getting just the healthy amount of screen time each day.
Okay, so the holidays are coming. Let's say parents are listening to this right now and they want to give their kid a phone. What are some steps? Okay, they want to give them a smartphone. What are some steps to do to give them a smartphone? They're 14 years old or older. They've waited a while. The kids are bugging them like crazy. What's your game plan there?
Well, I always encourage parents to not give a fully loaded smartphone to a child that has never had a smartphone before. You want to take baby steps. So when you first introduce the smartphone, I highly encourage parents not to have certain types of apps on the phone because you want your child to learn how to use this device in steps, not all at once. And so I would keep social media apps off the phone. I would keep video game apps off the phone. I would put good boundaries in place when it's appropriate to use the phone, what time of day it's appropriate to use the phone. I would encourage parents to have their child check in the phone at a certain point in the evening so they don't have access to it in the room all night. So there's just some different ways you as a parent can model this healthy behavior to your children and put safeguards in place so your kid views this as just a tool and not as a boredom elimination device where they just pull it out all the time because they're killing time.
Yeah, that's a great tip. So your tip is essentially when you're going to give your kids a smartphone, give it to them in a way that has a browser of some sort so they can do some searching. They've got a phone, they've got text messages, but remove Instagram, Snapchat, and anything else that might be a distraction from that so that they're not all consuming in there. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. And I also encourage parents to monitor it. I feel like there's this tendency to rattle off a whole bunch of do's and don'ts about how to use a smartphone and have your child sign this contract. And then it's like, okay, I've checked this box as a parent, but the whole process has just begun. You as a parent have got to monitor what your children are doing, not only on smartphones, but on tablets, on computers as well, and make sure you're keeping track of what's going on. Now, some parents will say, well, my child is entitled to some privacy. Nothing they do online is private. Everybody can see it. So you as their advocate, as their parent, you have to coach them through this. You have to make sure that they are staying on the right path. And they're going to make mistakes, and you're going to want to be the one that coaches them on how to correct those mistakes.
Yeah. A lot of parents are saying that today. It's kind of interesting. My son deserves a little bit of privacy. And I like to remind, and everybody that's listening to this right now, I like to play a tiny exercise helps us understand this better. If you give your kid at 16 years old an old car to drive, do you have the right as a parent to have an extra set of keys to that car? And the parents are always nodding, yes, of course. Okay, great. Do you have the right every once in a while to check the trunk just to see what's in there? Yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because maybe one of their friends put something illegal in there. Do you think that if that kid was in a car wreck, that would damage your family and hurt them and hurt another family and maybe kill somebody? Absolutely. And so you have the right to have the keys to it. Would you be able to take that away if something went wrong and you saw behavior you didn't like? Absolutely. Well, a smartphone is an $800 version of that 4,000-pound machine that can kill somebody. And a smartphone mm-hmm. can badly hurt somebody. We have the right to know how to get in, have the keys to it, the 4-digit, 6-digit passcode. You have the right to look at it at any time if you see anything suspicious. Yes. It could kill somebody else. I mean, it can cause depression, anxiety in your child. They can be less of a child during these important times because of one person that said something bad. So if you're listening to this today and you think that your child has any privacy on the web, as Brooke so wisely said, they don't. Big data knows what your kids are doing. You as a parent need to know, because Microsoft, Google, Snapchat, they're not going to wake up at 3 a.m. and wonder where your child is at. Only you are. And you're the only person that's going to go to great lengths to protect your kid. And that's why it's important that you also know what your kid's doing. Okay. What are some ways, some phrases, some ideas that you have, Brooke, on ways that parents can overcome some pushback that one might get from not getting their kid a smartphone? And say kids are coming up the holiday season. Mom, I really want all the other kids are here. I'm 10 years old. We're in about fourth, fifth grade. Every kid at school has it, Mom. Why can't I get it? You're the worst mom ever.
Well, I like to tell my kids, first of all, that our family follows the research. So if you look at the research shows that seatbelts are a good thing. So in our family, we wear seatbelts when we're in our car. If you look at the research, it shows that eating vegetables every day is a good deal for your body. So in our family, we serve vegetables at dinner, not candy bars. If you look at the research, it shows that if you can delay giving this technology to your children, they will be better for it. And in our family, that's what we do. We're holding off on this. We are doing what many people who are in this industry are doing for their own kids, which is delaying this technology until at least 14 years old. And we're Shannons. We're different. We're going to follow the research. And for me personally, my kiddos have lots of friends that do are doing the same thing because of our pledge. And I can say to them, you know what? You actually have 60 other people that are in your grade that are holding off until eighth grade as well. So you have a community of people to wait for. And for everybody that's listening today, each of you have a voice in your community, and you can go on to waituntil8th.org today, and you can sign the pledge. And we have all types of resources on hand to help you spread the word in your community and to rally some other friends alongside with you. So your kiddos have some other friends to hold off with on this technology. And if you get this group of kids that wait from not getting the phone at 10 versus 14, that's four more years of childhood without the distractions and the dangers that come with that technology.
That's terrific. So people can take the pledge, they can sign the pledge, which just takes a moment, and it asks them parents' name and some information about the family, the school, the state that they're in, and then the future middle school and so on, or future school. And then what does that do? Does that email the family and say, okay, put this on the refrigerator? What does that do?
Well, you'll get an email from us with some tips and ideas on how to spread the pledge in your community. And the way the pledge is designed is that the pledge only becomes active once 10 or more people from your grade and school have signed. And the reason we set this up is because there are parents out there that are totally on board with doing this as long as there's enough critical mass out there to have a community to wait on. And so we designed it with this idea of community in mind. Once you have 10 people in your grade that have signed this pledge, then you'll get an email from us congratulating you all on the pledge being active. And you're able to get linked up with the other people in your grade that have signed the pledge. And then that's helpful in having those conversations with your kiddos about other people waiting as well.
So 10 people in your grade at that school sign up, and then it's active.
Exactly.
And you get connected with them and can essentially make your kid more social in real life, because you'll have other families to talk with, right?
Exactly. And families have been getting together across the country, and they've been linked up in this way, and they're there to support one another. Some have had community gatherings where they watch that documentary Screenagers. Others have had different tech forums. And it's just really helpful to know that there are other like-minded parents out there, because if you just take your kid's word for it, you would think everybody in the world has a smartphone and they're just sitting in class, you know, doing whatever they want with it. But in actuality, there's so many other families out there that want to hold off. And so we're just empowering families to be able to do that within a community.
And quite frankly, Facebook wants your kids to have a smartphone younger and younger. And so do other apps. We all know that they're breeding in a lot of addictive techniques to make sure that your kid can't look away from the never-ending scroll pattern. I know a Facebook employee who's a friend of mine from many years ago, and she's worked there for over a decade. And she said, you know, this doesn't sound terrible, but Mark Zuckerberg would like new children that are at a very young age to get their own Facebook ID. And she joked that when their baby is being born, he would like them to have a Facebook ID. And I thought that was weird at the time. And I realized, no, they want to connect everybody. And quite frankly, it's very addicting at a younger and younger age. And Facebook now has this app called Facebook Messenger for Kids that we very much advise people not to get for their children. Because it gets kids excited about having their own phone, and younger trying to do the whole Snapchat thing. Am I wrong there? Is it bad to advise parents to not download that app to get kids online at a younger age, like 5, 6, 7?
Oh, you are spot on right. There's no reason that a 5, 6, 7-year-old needs to be on a social app developed by Facebook or any social media app, period. Kids right now in 5, 6, 7, I would argue all the way up to high school really need to be outside, playing with their friends, spending time with family, reading books, and enjoying being a kid. They get one chance at childhood. That's it. And let's not take away so much of their time with this social media and devices and video games. Let's let our kids be kids.
I love that. Kids get one chance at being a kid. Wow, Brooke, you've taught me so much here today. Let's review some of the tips you've had here. I've just taken some notes. Please, parents, consider a flip phone. Don't give your kids a fully loaded smartphone with all the bells and whistles. And if you do give your kids a smartphone this holiday season, consider talking with your kids about saying, we're not going to put Instagram on this or some of the other apps like Snapchat. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay for kids to miss out. FOMO is okay. It teaches you how to deal with real life disappointment when they're adults. Parents often think their kids aren't kids and they treat them too much like an adult. So true. Keep social media apps off the phone. Monitor what kids are doing. Keep track. Couldn't agree with that more. Make sure you know, because you're protecting other students and also protecting your child. And nothing online is private. Our family follows the research. I love that phrase that you said. Our family is a family that follows the research. And the research shows that seatbelts save lives. We wear seatbelts. The vegetables are healthy. We don't eat Snickers bars. That's great. And that 10 people in your grade, when they activate the pledge, it activates when they sign it. And then kids get one chance of being a kid. Let's let them be a kid a little bit longer. I love that. This is all really good. What would you tell the parents that are with us that are listening to this? What's your last call? What's your as they're getting ready for the holidays? What would you alert them to?
I just encourage all parents to just be very intentional and thoughtful with how their kiddos are spending time. And I think it's tempting to hand over the gadgets and get work done and to not think about the ramifications of all this technology. But as I said before, we just have a short period of time with our kiddos. So we really need to be deliberate and intentional. We need to learn how to delay certain technology. We need to learn how to instruct our children on how to use technology. We need to learn how to monitor how our kids are using. And most importantly, we really need to model appropriate technology behavior for our kids. We need to be able to walk the walk. And so, you know, let your kids catch you reading a real book. Let your kids see you going for a walk. If they only see you with the smartphone in the hand or the computer at the dinner table, they're going to want to model that behavior. So we really need to be good role models for our kiddos.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really thankful for you here today. And for everybody that's listening here today, you know that smartsocial.com helps you with all of the good and bad apps once you do give your kids an app. And also, another thing to know is even if you try and keep everything away from your kid and say, no, my kid will never be online or not allowed online, and they're oftentimes going over to a kid, one of their friends' houses, and their friend's parents have an extra smartphone lying around that we call the zombie phone that turns on and activates all these old apps and such. So definitely be aware of what your kids are doing. Talk with them about it. Dialogue is the best way to keep your kids safe, not through other apps that track your kids, but rather a healthy dialogue with your students. You can learn more at smartsocial.com. And as you've heard from me on other episodes, our newest initiative is talking to your students about what they want to do in the next 5 years and then slowly building a positive online presence for them once your family's talked about it. And that means building them a website. And we have a whole program that teaches you how to build your kids a website so that they're not, so that they're not using a device, but rather working with you to build their plan and to build a resume. I'm Josh Oakes. Brooke, thank you so much for your time today. All of you that are listening, you can click the links below to learn about waituntil8th.org. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Have a great day.